glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your friend Donna Leland. And today we're going to talk to a children's author. Her name is Nell Branham, and she is writing some really neat books, a series of books on mysteries for middle graders, and this is through Moody Publishers. Thanks so much, Nell, for taking time out to be with us today on Mark and Friends.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, let's start with your background, because these books are really coming out of some of your history. They say the best place to write from is a place of knowledge. And give us where you're at in your current season of life and some of your background as well.
Yes, well, I'm a retired elementary school librarian, and I was an editor, magazine editor before that for Women's Missionary Union. I live in a small town in Alabama, just outside the Birmingham area. I get to raise chickens in the backyard, which is a lot of fun. And I grew up here. My parents were both involved in World War II. My dad was a paratrooper in southern France, and my mom was a Rosie the Riveter. She made B-29 airplanes here in the Birmingham area. And I kind of knew that all the time growing up, but it wasn't until, I guess, the late 90s, about the time of the 50th anniversary of the end of the war, and the war, those who had been involved in it were retiring and had a little more time to think about it. My mom started an organization for Rosie the Riveters, called the American Rosie the Riveter Association, a nonprofit to honor and preserve their legacy. And I got involved with that. So I got to meet a lot of Rosies and veterans through the years as a result of that, too. She and my dad did presentations across the country, really. He could still wear his original paratrooper uniform from the war, and she would wear her coveralls. And they would go and do a program called Rosie and Her Paratrooper. My dad passed away in 2014. I wasn't sure whether she was going to want to continue to do that or not, but she did. So I was 1 year away from retirement, but I left my job and for about 5 years traveled with her and did all of that. So I had a pretty good window into the World War II scene, and particularly on the home front here. And in the meantime, I had married, and I have 3 grown children and 9 grandchildren, and some of them are close to me here, and some of them live a little further away, but we get together pretty often. Then I was her caregiver for several years, and also my husband, who was diagnosed with cancer in the last 2 years of that time, and he passed away. Well, she passed away in 2021, and he passed away 8 months later. So I found myself in a new chapter, and no pun intended, I guess. Yeah. And she had given me quite a lot of legacy to pass on, and I had learned so much through my contact with those friends from the war years that I decided that would be a good avenue to share those histories, those stories, those lessons from that generation with a new generation. So I have, in my next chapter, my new chapter, I have been writing stories for children.
I mean, that's just the confluence of all things.
Isn't that God?
It's just God. It's like everything. You know, you've got your pastor wife background steeped in scripture.
Yeah.
Historical connection to the past. I mean, you lived it. You did that living history experience, going around and recreating that for people. The library, the love of books, that's just wonderful. And I'm so glad Moody Publishers has seen in their wise dealings to pick these titles up and give you a platform.
Yes.
So let's talk about your books. This is neat. It's called The Heroes on the Home Front Mysteries. And kids love a mystery. It's a neat way to get them entangled all into the storyline. Go over Keep 'Em Flying. This is the first one in the mystery series. And give us a little background without telling us too much.
Well, I agree with you. I've always thought mysteries are the best. Even when I was a child, they were my favorites. And so that's what the direction I wanted to go. Keep them flying. That was a slogan that was used for building airplanes. We want to keep them flying. Also, for the colors of the U.S. flag, we want to keep them flying.
Mm.
And so you would see that phrase a lot during the war. Our main character is Riley, who is a sixth grader. These are for middle grade readers, not middle school necessarily, but ages 8 to 12, basically, middle grade. And Riley has a great-grandma, or has just lost a great-grandma, who was a Rosie the Riveter. And her grandma Susie talks her into entering an essay contest about her great-grandma, which works into a trip. So quirky Grandma Susie and Riley take off for Kansas City to go to a museum there that's having a World War II heritage festival. And she meets a new friend there, Marcus, whose dad is the curator of the museum, and also meets some Rosie the Riveters. Now, these are contemporary kids. These are not real historical fiction. They're not set in the 40s. They're set now. So any Rosies that you meet now, and there are still some, are in their late 90s and over 100.
Oh.
Some of them are still traveling. Not all, of course, but from our organization has some who travel, and I've encountered several that are still able to do that and want to do that, and we love to honor them as they do that. So Riley meets some Rosies and finds out some things about their time during the war, but then a crime occurs, and she and Marcus, her new friend Marcus, set out to find the real culprit, the real crook, because it's kind of important. I can't tell you why, but it's kind of important that they find the right person, because the police are about to arrest the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And so they follow the clues.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you weave faith into this series, into this particular Keep 'Em Flying?
Yeah. In this particular story, there's a scripture in each book. There are three books in the series so far. Book three just was released very recently. There's a scripture in each one. And in this particular book, the scripture is Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Riley encounters this verse, and it occurs to her that people have seen the We Can Do It poster that oftentimes represents Rosie the Riveter, the lady with her arm flexed, We Can Do It. And that has given a lot of inner strength to women, even back in the 40s. It's kind of used for a lot of different purposes today, but it occurs to her that if we include God in the we can do it, then that brings about a whole new series of inner strength and power that you can tap into that you couldn't do on your own. Riley's dad is deployed. He's in the Army Reserves, and that's very difficult for her. So it's finding out how to handle difficult situations, which our kids today certainly face, and learning to depend on the Lord for those hard times and the good times too. But that's, we can do it if we include God in the we.
See, kids need to see that, like real time kids trusting in the Lord during their challenges. And that's so sweet you wove that in. Tell us about Friends in Strange Places.
That is book two, Friends in Strange Places. All of these are based on true stories. I'll say inspired by true stories. The book one deals mostly with the Rosie the Riveters. Of course, I had to go that direction first.
Yep.
And they it's a compilation of a lot of different Rosies I've met through the years. Friends in Strange Places is inspired by an actual town in my home state of Alabama, Aliceville, Alabama, where there was a German prisoner of war camp during the war. A lot of people don't realize that. The Allies brought hundreds of thousands of German prisoners to the United States. Practically every state had some presence of POWs there during the war. Aliceville had a very large camp of about 6,000 prisoners near their town, just outside their town, which had a great effect on the town back in the day. And when I visited there, the camp is long gone, but you can see the site where it was, and there's a museum there. When I visited several years ago, I discovered that they had started having reunions of three groups of people. The Army guards from the military unit that had guarded the camp, they had been having reunions through the years, as groups do. But in 1989, they decided to have their reunion in Aliceville. And so they set about to find as many former German prisoners as they could. And so they ended up having a reunion of three groups of people, the Army guards, the former German prisoners, and the townspeople of Aliceville. And because there are not very many hotels in Aliceville, this time the German guests stayed in the homes of the Aliceville residents, which I just thought was a cool story.
Yes.
And they had such a good time that they continued having them every 4 or 5 years, well into the 2000s. And so in our story, Friends in Strange Places, it's a fictitious town, but it's inspired by Aliceville. And Riley and her fifth grade brother, Noah, and Grandma Susie is back in book two. And they go to a small town to adopt a dog. And when they get there, they find out that one of these reunions is taking place in the town on this very weekend. Well, Grandma Susie is always up for an adventure, and she wants to find out what it's all about. Riley's not so sure, because all these enemies in one place, she is not too sure about that. And so, especially when some sabotage things start happening, she's not sure about it. And so she and Noah, and they have a new friend there too named Hannah, set about once again to solve the mystery and find out who the real saboteur is, because it makes a difference in whether or not they can adopt the dog that they went to adopt. So that's the premise of that one. And the scripture for that one is Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other.
Wow. That's powerful.
Well, our kids are faced with so many different voices in their lives today, and they are just faced with such choices they have to make that they have perhaps not had to make before, just ordinarily growing up, but also in the crazy world that we live in. And sometimes the different voices can be very divisive for them. And I wanted to create a character who can show that it is possible to get past our past, forgive, but it is also possible, even if you don't agree with someone, we're still to be kind and compassionate. So that's the direction of that one.
Now, also I remember that story. I think in the end, some German soldiers chose to stay and actually married American women.
Yes, there were some cases of that, and others immigrated after the war and had come to some of the prisoners who attended the actual Aliceville reunions came from Germany for the reunions, and some were living in the United States at the time.
I guess they marveled at how well they were treated. They thought they were going to get here and just be, you know, demolished like they were doing to others. But Americans, you know, once again came through as being exceptional and did not return evil for evil. And it's such a great, great story. Very few people know about that location.
Yes. And there were other reunions throughout the country, too. But as far as I've been able to tell, Aliceville has been the one that has kept it most consistently, you know, through the years. And it's been fun to get to know some of those people in the process.
So rooted in history. Now, what's your third one? I don't even have documentation on this. It's so fresh.
Well, it's just come out, yes. It's less than a week old out on the market. It's called 10 Minutes of Home. It is also based on a true story in North Platte, Nebraska. In North Platte, which is a very small town, but it's pretty much in the center of the country, and all the railroad lines came through North Platte. In fact, they still do. They have the largest railroad yard in the country there. But the troops would be on these trains as they would come through. In World War II, we didn't transport people very much, especially troops, by air. So trains were the way that everyone went, whether they're going to the East Coast or the West Coast to ship out, or whether they're going to their base or going home for leave, or wherever they were going, you would have all these troops on these trains. And they had steam engines, so they would stop in North Platte to take on water for the steam engines, and they had about 10 minutes, 15 maybe, and the troops were allowed to get off the trains and go into the station. Well, the ladies of North Platte, this is the true story, the ladies of North Platte decided to meet those troop trains. So starting Christmas Day of 1941 and going through April of 1946, when most everyone had come home for 51 months, they met every train that came through North Platte, which was about 18 to 24 per day, 3,000 to 5,000 troops per day.
Wow.
And they fed them all. Cookies and cakes and pies and chicken and sandwiches and coffee and milk and fruit and magazines and all that was for free for them in the depot in the days of rationing. And so it was a mammoth effort. It turned into not being just the ladies of North Platte, but about well over 100 other communities and thousands of volunteers who took turns, took a day, and on their day they would save their ration stamps, and on their when their day was approaching they would bake like crazy, birthday cakes, just everything you can imagine. Then they would pool their gasoline rationing stamps and come together to work in North Platte. So altogether, over 51 months, they served 6 million troops. They said they didn't have a war industry in North Platte. They created their own. They were exporting morale because they gave hope. And you could hear stories from troops all over the world who remembered North Platte and the ladies there in their aprons and sometimes their Sunday hats who were serving them and encouraging them and telling them they were rooting for them and praying for them. So in my story, Riley and her family go to a small town in Nebraska that her dad is from for Veterans Day. And they get into a mystery there, of course, meet another World War II era friend who was a volunteer in a canteen very similar to the North Platte canteen in this town. And it leads them on a treasure hunt. This is a treasure hunt story.
Hmm.
So they are running all over town looking for clues, trying to decide what the treasure is and how it can help. They kind of have a different idea about what the treasure might be, and that's all I might better tell you about that one.
And what is our Bible verse for this one?
Yes, this one is Ephesians 2:10, which is, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works," because it is about, number one, generosity, but it's also about how God, just as you were saying, God gives us what we need. He puts us in the path of things that will give us the tools we need to do what he has for us to do. And Riley is discovering that as she sees not only the generosity of the ladies before her, but also she has opportunities to use what she has to do God's work in another way in today's time. So,
yeah, and giving kids that vision of, yeah, they're a very vital part of the body of Christ, and they have a voice, and they have things that they can do and that they can be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, I have a sense that you're kind of the Grandma Susie in this.
You know, I've been asked that. Perhaps I think that she is who I would want to be. She is a librarian. She's a middle school librarian, bless her. And she is always up for finding out new things, which I am too. I was actually at a Bible study not long ago in my church, and as I was writing these books, and I was listening, but I looked up and I thought, you know, Sharon is Grandma Susie. She was a librarian also, and she's very funny, very quirky. And so it's a little bit her, a little bit me, and a lot of who I would want to be, I think. I want our kids who are trying to live out their faith to understand that it's okay to be a Christian in a world that is telling them something different. It's telling them it's outdated, it's even oppressive, it's ludicrous to be a Christian, that it is okay. And not only is it okay, it is smart to be a Christian, and it is possible to keep your faith in the middle of a crazy world.
That's such a good message. Absolutely. And their light is going to shine in dark places. And that's what I hope that these books will do, is give kids a vision that they can be a vital part of God's kingdom. Well, I appreciate this so much, Nell. We've been talking with Nell Branham, and she is the author through Moody Publishers of some really fun, what you call middle grade books. And that's from 8 till 12.
Roughly, yes.
Okay.
A little before, a little after.
Yeah.
And they're, as I say, they're based in World War II. They have roots in World War II. In the back of each book, I have a section called Fact or Fiction, what's true and what's not.
Oh, nice.
Because it's a little bit easier to write a story when you can have freedom to be fictitious about it.
Yeah.
But it's so inspired by true stories, so heavily inspired, that I wanted readers to know about the real story as well. So I have just a series of questions. Is this true? Was that person real? Is this place real? To show which ones are real and which ones are made up. So if the reader is interested, they can look a little further, look a little deeper, and find out more about the real thing. So, and that's on purpose also, because I think it could be used in a school or a homeschool situation to deepen a unit or just a thought process.
Okay. Nell, is there any way we can get in touch with you? Do you have any other resources?
Oh, absolutely. I have a website, which is just my name, nellbranham.com. And I'm growing resources on there. I have several things that are links to the true stories and other things about these particular instances in history, and just some discussion questions and things like that that might be helpful. And also, I have an email newsletter that I send out about once a month, that my goal in that is to give parents and grandparents, and then trickle down to their young readers, to find some links to videos or to other places that give information about these things as well.
Nice.
And so those that can be found on my website. You can sign up for the newsletter on the website.
Could you give us that website once again?
Yes, it's Nell Branham, N-E-L-L, B as in boy, R-A-N as in Nancy, U-M as in mother, nellbranham.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Nell. This has been a very enriching and just, you know, uplifting time together.
Well, thanks for having me.
If you'd like to share this message with a friend, go online and click on Mark and Friends and share it in an easy-to-access MP3 format. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.